Osho, My Way, The Way of the White Clouds, Discourse Number 15, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
I want to say to us this week that we should not concern ourselves with others, that most of us from the West have friends and relatives at home, and we would like them to come to share what we found. Would you tell us what we can tell them about Sanya, and how we can try to tell them about something that's hard to tell them about you?
There are things which cannot be told. You cannot say them verbally, but there is a way to say them, and that is through your being. Be a sannyasi. That is the only way how to tell others what sannyasi is. If you are a sannyasi, your whole being will say that which cannot be said. Then your whole way of life will tell stories which cannot be conceptualized. Language is important. It cannot say that which is alive. It can say only dead things. You can say something about sannyas, but it will not be true. How can you say anything about sannyas? It is the inner flowering. It is the inner freedom. It is an inner ecstasy, a benediction. You can say it, of course, but the saying will be through your being, through your very being, and the way you are, the way you sit, the way you look, your eyes, your body, your very breath, the silence that surrounds you, the bliss that goes on and on being thrown all around you, the vibrations of you, they will tell, and only they can tell. Be a sannyasi, that is the only way. What sannyasi? It is a freedom from the mind. It will be difficult to understand sannyas if you don't understand what mind is. Mind is the accumulated past. All that you have experienced, all that you have known, all that you have lived through is accumulated in the memory. That accumulated past is the mind. So mind is always dead because it's branded in the past. Mind is always dead, never alive. Whenever a thing has become dead, it becomes part of the mind. It is just like dust that a traveler gathers. You are here now, and mind is always in the past. Mind is your shadow that follows you. Sannyas is getting free from the past, living in the moment, not carrying the past on the head, not being burdened by it. Moment to moment, die to the past. as if it were an adjusted, as if you are born anew. Every moment, be fresh and young. Put aside the past. Don't gather the dust. If you gather the dust, you will get dumber and dumber every day. Your consciousness will be covered. Your mirror like being will be. You won't be able to mirror anything. The longer you have lived with the past, the more the mirror will be covered. It will not reflect. You will become less and less sensitive. This is what has happened. Sannyas means a breakthrough. Looking at the past, understanding that it is useless because it is no more. Understanding that it is useless, a burden, you put it aside. Then you are here and now. This very moment, in the present, in the plenitude of the present. Sannyas means living without time. Not being influenced by the past and not being carried by the future. No burden of the past and no desire in the future. Sannyas is a goalless, purposeless life. If somebody says that sannyas is a means to achieve God, he is talking nonsense. Sannyas is not to achieve anything. Sannyas is to live in such a way as if you have achieved everything. It is not a desire. Because it makes no difference whether you desire wealth, power, prestige, or you desire product knowledge. It makes no difference. The basic mechanism remains the same. You desire. And whenever you desire, the future comes in. And whenever the future is there, it is nothing but a projection of the past. Whenever the future is, it is nothing but the modified known. It is never the unknown. How can you desire the unknown? That which you don't know. How can you desire it? God cannot be desired. If you desire, it is something else. Because God is the unknown, how can you desire it? God is the unexperienced, how you can desire it? You can desire sex. You can desire powers. You can desire the ego. Because you have known them, you have known them for many, many lives. But how can you desire God? How can you desire love? How can you desire ecstasy? You have never known them. Desire is impossible. That's why all the scriptures and all the Buddhas say God happens to you when you are desireless. Moksha comes to you. You never go to moksha. You cannot go because you don't know. Nirvana happens to you when you are desireless. Sannyas is desirelessness. And desirelessness means living in the now. And remember, now is not part of time. Now is beyond time. Time comes in only when you think in terms of the past, terms of the future. This very moment is not part of the time. This very moment is not recorded on your watch. Because the watch is always moving in the future. In the moment you will know the future, it is never here and now. It is coming from the past and moving into the future. The watch is a representative of your mind. It is never here. The moment you say it is here, it has moved. The moment you see where it is, it has become past. From past to future, it is jumping. If you look minutely at your watch, you will see it is not moving, it is jumping. The second change. But the hand that requires seconds, you can see it is jumping. It jumps from the past to the future. It is never here and now. And this is the way of the mind. Now is beyond time, it is timeless, or you can call it eternal. You never leave it. It is always there. You never go in it. You never come out of it. It is there. And if you can live in such a way that your whole life is surrounded by the now, you are a sannyasi. You are desireless. You don't desire even God. The moment you desire God, you have made God into a commodity. Then you will be exploited by the priests because they sell that commodity. Then you will be exploited by temples and churches and mosques because those are the shops where that commodity is sold. And sannyasi has nothing to do with temples and churches. Because God is not a commodity. And what happens when you are not desiring? That doesn't mean that you kill yourself, suppress yourself. That doesn't mean that you kill our desires. This point has to be understood deeply. Because this has happened. Scriptures say, those who have known, they say, that when you are desireless, the divine happens to you. Then the mind jumps, just like a cat jumping on a mouse. Catches hold of this desirelessness and says, okay, if God can be attained through desirelessness, then I will desire desirelessness. Now this becomes the desire. And again you have missed. And then sannyasis are trying how to be desireless. Then this state of desirelessness becomes the thing in the future to be achieved. So what you can do? You can kill desire and think that you will become desireless. Desirelessness is not the death of desire. Because when the desire dies, you are also dead. This will look very subtle and difficult. If there is no desire, you have killed all desire, you will be also dead. That is not the way for desirelessness to happen. It is not the death of desire. It is the transformation of the desire. Desire moving in the future is one way of the desire. Desire remaining here and now and enjoying the present is another way of desire. And the second way is desireless because it is not moving in the future.
A man who is desireless is not dead, he is more alive than you. Because his desire is concentrated here and now. If he is eating his food, you cannot even conceive how happy he is eating his ordinary food, just bread and butter. Because his whole being is here. He is not just throwing things inside. A man who lives in the future never eats well. He is just throwing. He is not concerned because his mind is concerned with the future. He lives in the ambition. He cannot eat well. He can think what he will eat tomorrow. He cannot eat this moment. He can imagine what type of foods, where he is going to eat tomorrow. But today is vacant and empty. And every tomorrow, unfortunately, becomes today. He will miss his whole life. While he is making love, he doesn't feel anything. He is frustrated. But he thinks of other women that he is going to capture in the future. And the same will happen again with every woman, with every man. Because the meeting will be here and now. And the mind always moves. He will not be able to make love. He will not be able to eat well. He will not be enjoy. He will not be able to enjoy the bliss that nature gives all around you, continually flowering as if in spring. The leaves are falling down from a tree silently. The breath is sobbing every moment silently without making any noise around you. Everything is beautiful. Everything is a benediction. But you are not present. So a sannyasi doesn't mean a man who has killed his desires. A sannyasi means a man who has brought all his desiring force here and now. He lives totally. Whatsoever he is doing, he is totally absorbed in it. Nothing is standing behind. He is not divided. While eating, he becomes eating. While making love, he becomes love. While moving, he becomes movement. Buddha has said, and very few have understood what he means. He says, when you move, only movement exists, not the mover. When you talk, only talking exists, not the talker. When you listen, only listening exists, not the listener. When you observe, only observation exists, not the observer. This is what a sannyasi is. The activity becomes so total. The actor is lost in the activity. There is nobody standing behind. No division. You have moved completely. You have flown into the activity, whatsoever the activity. Then enjoyment becomes perfect. So sannyasi, a man who is desireless, is not a man with dead desires, is a man whose desiring forces, all the energies that can desire, have turned upon on the present moment. They are not running in the future, they have turned upon the present moment. His desires are concentrated here and now. He has become a world. Everything moves back into him. Nothing goes think of the future, because future is false. It is non-existential. If your desires move into the future, it is as if a river is moving into a desert. It will be lost. It will never reach the sea. It will never enjoy the ecstasy that comes to a river when it comes to meet the sea. When a river reaches a ocean, the orgasm that is felt all over the river, the dance, the ecstasy, the blessing, it will not come if a river moves into a desert and is lost in the desert. It will evaporate, it will die. There will be no communion with existence. When desire moves into the future, the river of desire has moved into the desert. Future is nowhere. It is always the present. Future is a creation of the mind. It is false. It is a dream. A sannyasi lives in the reality, not in the dream. He enjoys the reality. So remember this, I insist again and again, that a sannyasi is not a man who is against life. Really, he is the man who is for life. And a sannyasi is not a man who has killed all his being and desires and has become a dead thing. He is life in abundance. He is a great source of aliveness. What happens? Because this is subtle. What happens? What will be the difference? You feel hunger. You start thinking about food. You never feel the hunger in its totality, otherwise it has its own beauty. And a person who cannot feel hunger is already dead. When hunger is there, hunger is in the present, you start thinking about food. When food is there, you start thinking about some other food that you are going to get tomorrow. It's amazing, a man who lives in the present enjoys hunger when hunger is there. He is totally hungry. He becomes hunger. Every cell of the body waiting for food, as if it has not rained for many days. And the earth is waiting for rains. Every bush waiting, inviting. The whole body waiting, inviting, enjoying the hunger. Then food is there. Then he enjoys the food and the satisfaction that comes to the whole being, that is spread all over the body and mind and soul. He enjoys this contentment. One of the master was asked, what is meditation? He said, when I am hungry, I am hungry. And when I am feeling sleepy, I fall asleep. The questioner could not understand. He said, I am asking about meditation, not about you. The master said, this is all that we know what meditation is. When I feel hungry, I feel hungry. There is no division. When I eat, and when I feel sleepy, I go to sleep. No fight with life, no resistance, surrender, floating, becoming a white cloud. A sannyasi is a white cloud, moving in the blue sky, enjoying every moment that God has given, enjoying every grace that has been coming to you. If this is possible, and it is possible, This has happened to me, this can happen to you. Only deep understanding is needed. Then more karma is accumulated. Then you don't accumulate anything. You eat, you love, you do everything. But you do it so totally that there is no able to accumulate any memory out of it. You never say, I did this. How can you say? When the being was there, you were not there. Who can say, I did this? If you ask a sannyasi, you were hungry and you have taken your lunch, he will say, I was not hungry, I have not taken the food. Hunger was there and the hunger has taken the food. No action on my part. I have not been there. If you are not there, if the actor is not there, who will accumulate karma? That's what Krishna says to Arjuna, that you do whatsoever happens to you, whatsoever the situation demands, do it and forget the doers. Don't think that I am doing, rather think that God is doing through me. And this is another way of saying the same thing. God is doing through me. I am just a nimitta, an instrument, a passage, a vehicle. I am just a flute, hollow within, nothing substantial. And God goes on singing and bringing new tunes, creating new songs. A bamboo flute. Sannyasi is a bamboo flute, a passage. He is not there. Much happens around him. Much happens through him, but he is not there. Become a sannyasi. Because this is beautiful. This must come to your mind that you have to share. You are here, your mother will be waiting at home, your wife, your husband, your children. And one always says, you will go back. You will not be taking any visible thing with you. Not a present to your mother or your wife. Some ornaments. Not something from this country. You will be taking something invisible. This invisible cannot be talked about because you are not taking a philosophy with you. I am not giving you a philosophy. I am not giving you any ideology. I am giving you a different type of life, a way of being. It will be difficult to tell. If they ask directly, it will be difficult. And don't try to say anything, because that will not be of any help. That will create more problems. But rather, be open to them so they can share. Rather, be vulnerable, be with them, love, enjoy, eat, meditate, and tell them to share your being. Any way of life that has happened to you, your very presence, your being which is laughing, enjoy, will become infectious. It becomes. And when it feels, this will take time. It will not it can be difficult. So before you go, be prepared. Be ready to share. And it is not always so that they will understand. In the beginning, there is going to be misunderstanding, no possibility of misunderstanding. Because they have not never thought about this is something unknown. And whenever the unknown knocks at the door, the mind feels scared. Because the mind cannot categorize it, the mind cannot tackle it. It is sacred and shocking. The mind always feels happy if it can categorize a thing, put into a corner and say this and this, live in it, and finished. The mind is always happy if it can analyze a thing, divide it, cut it, look into it, and be finished with it. But sannyas cannot be categorized. It is not a category. It is such an altogether different quality of being. There is just no category for it. It cannot be analyzed. It cannot be broken in fragments. It is not a mechanism. You cannot break it, take parts apart and put them together again. After the maturity, you can find it is no more there, and you can never put it again back. It is impossible. It is a live force, organic, just like a flower. Analyze the flower, take each petal away, break it, look inside it, be satisfied that you have inquired, then try to put it back, but by the time the flower is gone, the petals are dead. And they can never be put back again in the same way, because it was an organic unity. It was not a mechanism. Sannyas is a flowering of human consciousness, just as flowers come on a tree. That's so small, the tree has come to a completion. Sooner or later, fruits will follow. Flowers are just indications that the tree is ready to give fruits. The tree is ready, it is fulfilled. Flowers are just the ecstasy of the tree before it starts giving fruits, because fruit means the fulfillment. The tree has come to its peak climax. It has achieved the crescendo of being. It is happy. It enjoys it. It has not been trying to be. Now fruits are going to come. The tree is ecstatic and gives flowers. Sannyas is a flowering and moksha is the fruit. Sannyas means now your inner being, your inner being, the point where the jump, where the exposure is going to happen. Before it happens, the whole being enjoys it. You are fulfilled. It has not been a waste. Many, many lives you waited, and it has come now. So long is waiting, so much patience, but it has been meaningful. Now you have achieved. You have reached. The whole being flowers. Hindus have chosen red, orange, ochre, and the colors of sannyas because of flowers. Green and red are the basic color in nature. Green is the tree, red is the flower. Your being has come to a flowering. Soon the fruits will follow.
soon the seeds will be coming. Take this flower in with you, and it is good that you think how to share with loved ones, with friends, with wife and husband, with the family. How to share it? It is beautiful. It is rich. It is virtuous to think of sharing such a wonderful thing. But you can share only if it has happened to you. If you have been only listening to me, thinking about flowers, and you have not flowered, you cannot share. If you take my words, they will not be real flowers, because words can be revealed. They will be flowers. You can give them real friends, but there will be no fabric. They will not tell what I have been telling to you. They will not convey anything. There will be no communication through them. So if you want to say a sannyas, meditation, be meditative, get more and more deeply involved in this way of life, desireless, eating, enjoying every desire when it comes. When it happens, enjoying it as a gift, as a grace, but never asking for it. Never demanding it, never planning for it, never thinking about it. Live totally and not through thought. Thought is the corrupting force. It corrupts everything and corrupts absolutely. Because thought is cunning. It is cunningness personified. The more you can think, the more you will become cunning. You will think it is cleverness. You will think it is intelligence. It is not. Because if there is intelligence, then thought is not needed. Intelligence is if thought is not needed. You need thought because intelligence is not there. If intelligence is there, then you respond moment to moment. You need not think about what I should do next. Because when the next moment comes, intelligence will be there and you will respond. And we have never thinks that when the other man comes in front of me, what I am going to do. There is no need. Nobody is there. It is there. Intelligence is there. You never think about the next problem because the problem will be there and you have intelligence. The intelligence will respond. You can rely on it because we don't have intelligence. We think about it. Thinking is a substitute. Greater intelligence, less thinking. When intelligence is perfect, no thinking. A Buddha never thinks. There is no need. Whatsoever life brings before him, he responds. You think, because you don't have money or intelligence, so you have to plan beforehand. When the moment comes, then you will follow the blueprint that you prepared in the past. What type of living is this? You live out of the past. That's why so many errors unnecessarily committed. And everything goes still and dead. Because you always act out of the past. And life goes on new. Every moment, every life changing. The change never stops. And you have stopped in the past. And you carry a blueprint. Whenever life gives you a problem, you look in your memory. The blueprint, the planning, and then you act out of it. You have missed. Life is always new. Blueprints are always old. Life is just like birds flying in the sky. They never leave any mark. There is no path. They flow. The sky is vacant, as it was before.
It is not like where people walk, and through their walking, through their footprints, paths are created. It is like sky. No paths are created. A sannyasi is like a bird flying in the sky, following no footprints, following no paths, because no paths exist. Moving moment to moment through his present intelligence, not past memory. Look, we have done something quite the contrary. We have made everything a planning. Even a hurricane coming back from his office, from his work, thinks how he is to meet his wife. Plans inside, talks with himself, he will say this, he will touch her hand this way, he will give her a long kiss or something. What is the need of planning about it? Don't you have any love? If love is not, then planning is needed. Because you cannot lie, you may completely forget. If you have not planned it before then, you may reach home and you may completely forget that the wife has been waiting for the whole day, preparing food for you, washing your clothes, just surrounded by your love. She has been waiting and waiting and waiting and getting impatient. And now you have come. And you even don't look at her. You sit in your chair and start your paper, you start reading your paper. Or you put on your radio or TV, as if the voice does not exist. You are afraid of this, you can do this. So you plan. You make it a point to remember. You have to remind yourself how to behave with your wife, with your beloved. What type of love is this, which cannot respond without life? If love is there, there will be no thinking about it. The same is true about intelligence. If intelligence is there, there will be no thinking about it. It is a substitute. And thought is very clever and cunning. It can create the illusion of the real. That is the cleverness. You can smile without smiling. A smile comes on your lips, but it is only on the lips, just a painted smile. It is not related to you at all. There is no bridge. It is not bubbling from the center of your being. It has not come from you. You have just put it on. It is a mask. Thought can do it. And then by and by you go on becoming false. Cleanness means creating a pseudo life around you. If sannyasi is real, his smile, if his smile comes from his being. If he is angry, anger comes from his being. If he loves, he loves from his being. He is not pseudo. He is not a phony. He is real and authentic. You can rely on him. If he loves, he loves. If he is a friend, he is a friend. If he is not, you can rely on him. He is not. But he is not deceptive. This is what I mean by a really virtuous man. Authentic. Reliable. Whatsoever is really there, he wears no mask. He uses no false faces. He lives with the real. And remember, you can come to the real only if you are real. If you are false, you can never come to the real. If you do it unveiled, then the world that you live is going to be unreal, because the unreal can be connected only with the unreal. You are unreal, that's why the world is illusory, in Maya. If you are real, the world disappears, it becomes divine, it becomes real. The world Maya is beautiful. It means that which can be measured. Maya means that which can be measured. Mind is the measuring phenomenon. Mind goes on mapping out, analyzing. Mind tries to measure everything. That's why Hindus have called the world Maya, that which can be measured by the mind. What is your science? Nothing but measuring. Hindus call mind Avidya. They call it not knowledge, but empty knowledge. It is not real knowing. Because that which is real cannot be measured. It is immeasurable. It is infinite. It has no beginning, no end. The real is immeasurable. Unreal is measurable. And with measure comes reason, logic. It is measurable, logic drops, reason drops. Mind is very clever and cunning. It has created the world of illusion. What excellence is, he is not a mind. Rather, on the contrary, he is innocence. He is innocent like a child, just born, with no past, with no idea of the future. Excellence is every moment a child, just born. Now this is the process, that every moment he dies to the past. Whatsoever has passed, he throws it away. He denounces it, because it is a dead thing, just, no need to create. He chooses himself. His mirror becomes again fresh. He goes on cleansing the mirror. This cleansing I call meditation. People ask me, when we will be able to drop meditation? We will not be able to drop it. It will drop one day when you are not. But you will not be able to drop it. Because you will need cleansing. You become continuously dirty. Every moment the dirt gathers. It's the nature of life. Every moment you need a bath, a cleansing. When you are not there, then nothing. Then there is no problem, because there is no one who can get dirty. But you are there, then meditation has to be continued. It is an effort to remain innocent. Look, if you are innocent, there is nothing you are lacking. If you can look with innocent eyes towards the sky, you become the sky. With mind, you start measuring. You say, this is beautiful or not beautiful. Today the sky is clouded. Tomorrow's sky will be there. Yesterday the sky was more beautiful. You don't start measuring. But if you are innocent, not a mind, but just again looking at the sky, there is nothing to say, nothing to do. The sky is there and you are also like a sky, and the inner and outer meet. Both their spaces become one, and there is no boundary. The observer becomes the observer.
That's what Krishna would be able to say. The observer becomes the observed. Now the hearers lose their boundaries with the world. He looked at the tree with innocence, no mind making. What happens? There are not two, the tree and you. Somehow the tree has entered you and you have entered the tree. Only then you come to know what a tree is. You look the reverse. You look at the mind words against the village art line. Both is gone and matching. All differentiation is lost. All distinction is lost. Unity arises. It is not the unity put by thought. It is not the unity of philosophers. It is the unity totally different. You don't think that it is one. You say only you know that it is one. You don't say inside the mind that this is one because Upanishads so. Upanishads have said so. Veda has said so. It is one. If Veda are in your mind and Upanishads, you are not able to say you are coming. Your development is continuing. You are living. Applying mind and thought, comparing. You are clever and cunning. You are not intelligent. And however clever you are, a clever mind is mediocre. Intelligence is needed. A child is born. He is intelligent, not clever. He looks at the world with clear eyes. His perception is absolutely clear, unguarded. When I say emotions is sannyas, I mean your perception should be good. With no thoughts to become barriers. You should look. You should become look. You should observe. This innocence is possible, and only this innocence grows beyond time and space. And only this innocence reaches to the ultimate, the moksha, the absolute freedom. Become a sannyasi. An innocent one, reborn, cleansing, moving moment to moment into the unknown, and then you will be able to say, I was going to say that the whole process of human education, culture, conditioning is just the opposite. It teaches you how to be cunning and clever. It teaches you the mind. It never teaches you the innocence. It teaches you automatization. This word has to be remembered. It makes you more and more automatic. Because if you are more and more automatic, you are more efficient. You learn driving. In the beginning it is difficult. The difficulty is not in the driving or in the car or in anything. The difficulty is in you because you have to be alert. In the beginning you have to be alert. The danger is there. You have to be continuously conscious of what you are doing. You have to be alert of the traffic, of the people passing, of the mechanism. You have to be alert of the glitch.
of the bare core, of the real, and everything. So many things you have to be alert. Your mind cannot continue its routine inner chattering. It has to be alert. That creates the trouble. Later on, after a few days, you become automatic. Now the thing goes on working, the legs go on working, the car and you have become one mechanism. And your mind can continue its inner chattering, there is no problem. Your mind is not needed. This is what I mean by automatic. No, your body is the mechanism. It functions. You will be needed only in certain rare cases. If some accident is going to be there, suddenly you will be needed. Then your thinking process will have to stop. Suddenly there will be a shock. Your whole body mechanism will sever and you will have to come. You will have to be alert. But rare moments, otherwise you can continue. You can smoke, you can sing, even you can talk with somebody. You can listen to the radio. And you can continue your inner talk, the inner dialogue. There is no need to be there. You have become automatic. But this is more efficient. Because if you need to be continuously aware, you cannot be very efficient. You cannot go very fast. Because you don't know how to be aware. Because of this factor, because people are not aware, they live unconscious lives, society has learned a trick. Make everybody more and more automatic. The whole schooling is nothing but making you automatic. Language, mathematics, everything becomes automatic. You can do it without being worried about it. It becomes mechanical. When I say become innocent, it means a de-automatization. It means whatsoever you do, do fully conscious. If you are driving the car, then only drive it. Become driving, but don't do anything else. Don't continue the inner talk. Just become so much deeply involved and alert that there is no driver, only driving, and fully conscious. It will be difficult. That's why societies have not bothered about it. Only individuals can pass through such an arduous path. Do everything conscious. Your body automatism by and by will dissolve. You will become de-automatized. And then innocence will flower. A child is innocent because nothing is automatic yet. He has not learned anything. He is not conditioned yet. But sooner or later we will condition him. He will learn things, and more and more mind will be there, and less he himself. Less and less being and more mind will be there. Then he will become just an automata, a mechanism, efficient, working well, serving the society, but dead. Serve, help the society work, but don't become automatic. But you have already become, so de-automatize it. By and by, bring more and more consciousness. Whatsoever you are doing, bring more consciousness. Because whatsoever you are doing, if you are less conscious, it becomes automatic. That is the way of automatization. Less and less conscious, doing things like a mechanism. More and more conscious. Doing not like a mechanism, but a presence. Then innocence will flower in you. And that innocence is the greatest thing that can happen to a human being. Innocent, you are divine. Innocent, you have become gods. Enough is that.